This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Main Event, a roundtable experience looking at today's pro wrestling landscape. And now, here's your host, Scott Criscolo.
Place to Be Nation, we have survived the weekend, and your humble host survived episode 41. Welcome, everyone, to your home for everything modern-day wrestling, Place to Be Nation's Main Event. I'm your host, Scott Criscolo. Well, 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 we have reached the post-mortem of one of the most fun weekends I've had in quite a long time pertaining to both professional wrestling and camaraderie with people I care about. And we're going to talk about that tonight with some of those gentlemen who joined me this weekend in the best of the five. Well, it's hard because my favorite baseball team is in another borough, but I do love the borough of Brooklyn and everything about it. And we were in two opposite ends of the borough this weekend, Coney Island Saturday and the Williamsburg end on Sunday, Atlantic Avenue. In fact, where Ebbets Field used to be.
But
before I do that, let me bring in my guests, three gentlemen, and then a fourth will join us after the break, who were with me all weekend. Yeah. All right. And that guy cut me off. Anyway, let me bring in my crew. First off, a guy who I just don't hang out with enough, and that is going to change. He is a great contributor to PlaceMeNation.com. He has his weekly walk around the web, and it was good to hang out with him on Saturday night. Mr. Glenn Butler. Hi, Glennie.
Hey, Scott. How you doing?
I am well. It's good to have you on. It's been a while.
I am glad to hear that you plan on hanging out with me more. It will be a great honor, and it was good to see you. It was good to see everyone. I am doing well. I got a song on my lips tonight, Daddy.
Just wait till I'm done talking before you sing it.
Yes, sir.
Good. That's all I ask. Glenn, always a pleasure, man. Also joining me, a guy that I wish I could hang out with more, but he lives in another state. But when I am in that state, I always get to hang out with him. He is the co-host of the Sports Lounge, and he is also a contributor to PlaceMeNation.com, as always, the Cowboy, Roger Morissette. What's up, Cowboy?
What's happening, Scott? Thanks for having me on. Great time this weekend.
Oh, it was a blast. It was a blast, and it's always good to hang out with you in my end of the country. Usually I come up and see you guys and Mr. JR in the fine Ocean State Enclave. But it's good that you guys came down here.
It's fantastic, and as our next guest will tell you, I do enjoy driving. So anytime you want to have us down there, you just let me know. And, I'll be behind the wheel.
We'll have to pick this guy up kind of far away, because our third guest in this segment is a guy that I have been looking forward to meeting face to face for eons. I've known him for God almost 4 years now, and he came to the fine borough of Brooklyn, all the way from. He always gets stunned because I come up with another town in his state that he thinks I didn't know, but I think I've invented all of them. Sheboygan.
Oh yeah,
there you go.
Very good.
Hi, Steve.
Went there for vacation this winter.
Sheboygan.
There's nothing like a vacation in Sheboygan.
Let's see. I've done Sheboygan.
Yeah, you got a Waukesha in there.
Waukesha. Well, that's because I've lived in Waukesha. Yeah. What else? I think that's it. No, there were a few others I came up with. Anyway, Steve Willey, it was a fantastic opportunity that you had to be able to hang out with us and come for the weekend of fine wrestling. It was a true treat.
It was a great time, and yeah, I eventually caught up on sleep on Wednesday morning, and my colon caught up yesterday.
Wednesday morning. Well, I got home. I took the train. And on Sunday night, we drove Saturday. We had a full crew. Let's get the weekend started, and then we'll break down what we'll have this evening. The crew proper for both days was myself, Steve Willey, Roger Morissette, of course, Mr. Rosero, JR, Andy Flanagan, Charlie,
D'Amato.
Dr. G, Mr. D'Amato. Mr. Armento, Glennie Bunn was with us on Saturday. The Lumpy Silverback, Mr. Otella, was with us on Sunday. Did I miss anybody? I don't want to miss anybody because God knows I'll get told. Is that everybody? If I miss anybody, let me know, Steve.
We ran into
Krasafi on Sunday at Shake Shack, right?
Apologize for butchering your name.
He still has Grant Owen's iPad stuck to his roof. You guys ran into our good man, Mr. Krasafi, at the Shake Shack, which was across the street from Barclays on Sunday. That was cool. We saw Oscar.
We did.
He's from Mom. And I, you know what? I got to give Rotella credit because usually he's dead wrong about stuff like this. But he saw him in the street and he said, "That's Oscar." I said, "No." And as he's walking closer, I'm like, "Fuck, that's Oscar." So I went into the shack where you guys were in line and I said to Justin, I said, "That's Oscar." He looks and goes, "Holy crap, it is. Get a picture." But he had already walked by me, so I was pointing. And I don't know if he had gotten a picture, but I know he talked to him. I know they made eye contact, so. But
I thought you just said they made out.
Well, I don't know. JR was a big Men on a Mission fan, so you never know.
He was.
Oscar was one of the smallest of the trio. He looks like Mabel now.
But, send that to Mo.
Yes. Saturday night, we were in the Coney Island end of Brooklyn. Steve Willey, you had never been. I know you've been to Manhattan before this weekend,
yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, I've been to Manhattan a couple times.
But you've never been to the borough. So what were your thoughts, your first experience on Coney Island?
I think that, boy, it is such a melting pot. What really like threw me was how you could have dilapidated, you know, abandoned buildings right next door to like, you know, $50 million beautiful condos. Mm-hmm. And then Coney Island is like, I've been to Ocean City, Maryland before and like Rehoboth Beach, you know, kind of on the Atlantic Ocean, and Coney Island was that on crack. It was, you know, like beat down roller coasters that were still kind of beautiful in their own right.
Oh yeah.
And that ROH show, which we'll talk about, you know, the backdrop, some of the coolest pictures that we got were looking out, you know, over the outfield, seeing all of it in its glory.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, just such a mishmash of carnival and people. And I think I mentioned to a couple of the guys as we were going along, just kind of walking before the ROH show, that I was like sensory overload in Coney Island. I couldn't like stop, you know, kind of, you know, with my regular job, you know, I observe people. Mm-hmm. And I was turning my head every which way. It's like it was just complete overload.
Mm. Yeah, it is one thing. And I tell you, you caught it at a not as odd time. Because there are some weirder weekends in Coney Island on the boardwalk. There's like a mermaid weekend. Everybody dressed up like mermaids. It's some very interesting scenarios, and it's pretty crazy some weekends. Glennie Bunn, had you ever been to the borough?
I had never been there in terms of actually going to something there. I might have driven through it a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I actually never been to Brooklyn till I met the doctor, and that was, God, 23 years ago. And he has family that lives there. So we visited when I was in college. But I hadn't gone to Coney Island till 2000, I don't know, 2006 or 2007, because they live in the Bensonhurst section. And it took me a couple years to just kind of soak in. Like at one point, we went to a Brooklyn Cyclones game, which is, of course, the single-A team of the Mets, who play in MCU Park, where, of course, Field of Honor was. And one night, the game was over, and it was relatively early still. It was like 10 o'clock. It was a quick-paced game. And I just walked up and down the boardwalk. And like you said, Steve, sometimes you just normal people and just families and then some other kind of stranger people and then undesirables and people fishing. And it's just – it is really just a cavalcade of sounds and sights. So –
That's New York, though.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Everything coexists, and it's all mushed in together.
Yep, I agree with you. You could do it in Manhattan, absolutely. The Bronx, Staten Island is like that. If you see people because the Staten Island Yankees, who are the single-A team of the Yankees, they play in the same league as the Brooklyn Cyclones. Their ballpark's right next to the Staten Island Ferry. So you look kind of, if you're behind home plate, you can kind of look past left field and you can see people getting off and on and kind of the same scenario. But yeah, New York is just, that's just the way it is. But Coney Island is a perfect snapshot example of that. You're exactly right, Glenn. Cowboy, you've never been down this neck of the woods. What were your impressions of Coney Island in particular, because the Williamsburg side of Brooklyn, where Barclays is relatively normal. It's like Manhattan, only a little less laid, a little more laid back. But what were your thoughts of Coney when you got there?
No, I liked it. You know, I'd never been there, but I've been to Atlantic City a few times and Ocean City. And
right.
You kind of had that same type of feel, like Steve said. You know, I love the people watching. I love love the diversity. It's good to get all us humans in a crowded place like that eating hot dogs.
Exactly. Yes, of course. JR got his dream. He got to the original Nathan's and had his he got to look at his beloved area where the hot dog eating contest every 4th of July is, and he took a picture with the doctor right there. We all had dogs, quite delicious. And then we went into MCU Park, and we'll talk about this first. And that is Field of Honor, which took place Saturday night. It's a house show. I believe they are putting it on DVD, which is cool, because that way I can get it every – this is my fourth Ring of Honor show I've seen live. I saw a show in 2005 in Woodbridge, Connecticut. Glenn, you know where that is.
Oh, yeah.
In that that complex they have. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's like one of these indoor like sports complexes. They play like volleyball there and that kind of stuff. It's one of those indoor places. And there was no air conditioning, so it was like 105 degrees in the middle of August. It was during the summer.
Ugh.
It was during the summer of Punk. And Punk was fighting James Gibson, of course, as we all know, is Jamie Noble. And
oh, well, I probably have that show on DVD then. I bought the whole Summer of Punk at one point.
Yeah, it was August of 05. I remember Gibson, Punk, Jimmy Rave. This is when the Embassy was at its peak. Jimmy Rave, and I can't remember who he fought. This was a big show because Matt Hardy was going to be there, and this was in the midst of that whole thing with Edge. But by the time this show happened, it had already leaked that he was going back to WWE as a performer. So he wasn't as cool as he was when he was unemployed, so he got booed out of the building against Christopher Daniels, which I thought was pretty funny. Then, of course, I saw the show the Friday before WrestleMania 29 at Hammerstein in 2013. What is it called? Not Death Before Dishonor. What's the nickname of like their WrestleMania weekend show? It's
they change it every year. They do. It was originally Best in the World, but now that's in June.
Yeah, this is what the hell is it called?
I don't know.
I'm sure someone will tell me.
I don't know.
Ever slides on these shows.
They should keep their reviews on the internet.
Exactly.
Isn't that the show that happened?
That is the show that happened. Yeah. Put your sweatpants up, you scummy bastard. Yes, that was that show. That was the night Kevin Steen lost the Ring of Honor title to Jay Briscoe, and they blasted "Give Me Back My Bullets" by Skinner, because that was the Briscoe's old theme song. That was kind of badass, I have to say. That was also, I think, Shelton Benjamin's last show in Ring of Honor. He helped Cheeseburger beat somebody. And then my third Ring of Honor show was back in this past January in Philly, the night before the Rumble. It was a almost 4-hour TV taping or something. That was kind of cool. Great 6-man tag. That was my match of the year live, which was Seidel, ACH, and Cedric Alexander against Styles and the Young Bucks. That match was sick. Sick. So I know we all went into this show feeling that there were a couple of candidates to have matched that. Let's look at the card and see what happened, and everybody get ready, because I'm sure I'm going to upset some few people.
Oh, we're not all going to give the history of every Ring of Honor show we've been to?
I've been to like 20, so we can do that.
See, I only did it because I'm the host, and I have the least probably. So.
Oh, yeah, I've probably been to like 4 or 5.
Which one's all right? Wait, I'm cool with that. Cowboy, how many have you been at now? Now, you were with me in January.
I've gone to three Ring of Honor shows. So.
You went to the Providence one, right, with Justin?
Nope. Nope.
I went you didn't go to that one. Oh, okay.
Nope. I wasn't in the fold yet. the first one I went to was in Pittsburgh before the Royal Rumble.
Oh, right.
I saw Kevin Steen fight, which was cool, and a bunch of other stuff. Steve was at that one. And then the next one was the Philadelphia.
Right.
That you said, Scott, where that was at the ECW Arena. That was one of the best things, period, I've ever been to. It was awesome.
Yeah, me too. That was my first time ever in that building too. Yep, you're right.
And then my third was this.
Okay.
This show, quite a bit different, this show, than the
yes.
other But we'll get into that.
Yes. All right, Glenn, you can rip off your four or five. Sorry, Willie, I don't have time for 40 shows.
First one I went to was because one of my a guy from the old Blog of Doom, Amal Gamut, for those few who might be still listening,
yep.
Had an extra ticket.
For the two still listening.
Well, I don't know. For Steve and Jordan, had an extra ticket, and I decided I can take the train. And that happened to be Glory by Honor with Misawa versus Hideo Itami.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that was my first show. I got to see that live, which is probably... It might still be the best match I've seen live, actually. It also had Daniel Bryan versus Morishima. Was that the guy who took the title from him, hurt his eye, all that stuff? Then there were a couple other shows I went to in 08-09. There was one in the Hammerstein that I believe had Nigel versus Antonio Cesaro for the title. And another one in Danbury. At the police gym.
Oh yes. Yeah, I know exactly what that is. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
That was the tag title tournament when the Age of the Fall won the tag titles, and someone in the crowd was so mad he threw his chair at the ring and got escorted out of the building.
Lovely. Dope. All right, Willie, give us your two or three best Ring of Honor shows.
Probably the most infamous one was the Man Up pay-per-view show where they had the ladder match with the Briscoes against Dean and Generico, where the Age of the Fall debuted, and they hung, I can't remember if it was Mark, I think it was Mark, upside down after he bled, and he bled all over Jimmy Jacobs' white jacket. So it's kind of like a very infamous match.
Mm-hmm.
And then WrestleMania 22 week, that was the one in Chicago?
Yes.
That weekend show, there were two shows that had a lot of the Dragon Gates guys on it. I think I've talked about this on one of the earlier episodes I've done.
Yep.
It was like this ridiculous 4.5 hour show that was, again, another infamous show because of the length and because of the star power on it.
Mm. Okay. Here is what we had on Saturday night. Christopher Daniels, one half of the tag team champions, lost to Adam Cole. In a tag team rematch, the Killer Elite Squad, the GHC Tag Team Champions, Davey Boy Smith Jr., who, by the way, wore his dad's 1997 Heart Foundation.
That's so cool. That
was pretty swank.
Vest, which was incredibly badass. And Lance Archer beat the War... War Machine won that match. Hanson and Rowe, who I like those guys a lot. They're awesome. War Machine won that match. In the gauntlet for the Ring of Honor World TV title shot on September 19th in San Antonio, that was won by
Watanabe.
That guy. Where's his name?
Helped you out there.
They skipped his name.
Yeah, that was really weird. He was not announced.
I could have sworn he was. I could have sworn I butchered his name last week. I don't know. Anyway, the other guys.
I think in the gauntlet that they Moose was the planned winner until they found out Armento was pulling for him.
He threw
the curveball right at the last second.
And Rick Cowboy and the other pissed off Patriots fans are like, God damn it. The other participants were Frankie Kay, my man Kaz, also the other half of the tag team champions, Moose, Donovan. Don't say it.
No, Dijak. Sorry. I'm trying to help you here.
Dijak?
Yep.
Okay. Cedric Alexander, Adam Page, Dalton Castle, and Silas Young. We thought Dalton Castle was going to win it.
And Cousin Luke.
The Bushwhacker.
Okay. Glenn, that one I purposely forgot. No, I'm only kidding. Actually, I did forget.
Well, it was one of the highlights of the show for me.
Yes.
So,
for those that didn't see it, if you weren't there, he pulled a 1990 Rumble, got in the ring, got thrown out, kept walking, and marched all the way around the baseball
and rounded the bases. Yes,
bases. Very cool. Yes, you're right. Very cool. And that was won by Watanabe. Yes, and
he got it in one.
Yes, and he will face Jay Lethal on September 19th in San Antonio. Now here's the match I thought would be my match of the night, and it was close. It was close. The Young Bucks, Seidel and ACH, which is weird because they were on opposite teams 8 months ago, taking on the Kingdom and RPG Vice. A fantastic match. The Bucks, Seidel, and ACH won, and that was a great match. But not my match of the night. My match of the night is coming up in a minute. In a non-title match, Haruki Goto?
Mm-hmm.
Goto. Beat Michael Elgin.
This was your match of the night, right, Scott?
Not at all. It was okay, but... this match was close to match of the night. The Briscoes defeated the Time Splitters, Shelley and Kushida. That was a good match. This was my match of the night. The IWGP Heavyweight Champion, Rainmaker Kazuchika Okada, defeated Mr. Ring of Honor, Roderick Strong. These guys were awesome. Awesome. Match of the night for me. Was it live match of the year? Nah, that six-man tag in January was still the best. But this match was fantastic. And finally, in the main event, the dual champion, Jay Lethal, and King of Strong Style, Shinsuke Nakamura, defeated Red Dragon. Willie, general observations and the match that you enjoyed coming away.
General observations. The gauntlet match. I'm a huge fan of Dalton Castle. He's one of the rare guys that has a really cool character,
yep,
and it can also back it up with wrestling.
Uh-huh.
Usually it's one or the other, especially right. In Ring of Honor.
Right.
And he can do both. And he got one of, I would say, the top three biggest pops of the night. Mm-hmm. I think it would be him, the Bucks, and Nakamura probably got the best pops of the night. The ambiance, I had never been to a show in a baseball stadium before this year, and then this year I've gone to two. One was the Global Force show in my neck of the woods,
mm-hmm,
which was kind of a joke. It was just a handful of people there, just a few hundred, and to see a couple thousand people there, which you lost in terms of kind of noise reverberating off the walls and the ceiling to make it seem a lot louder than it actually is. The atmosphere more than made up for it. You know, it's something that I think they should continue once a year to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the fact that they used the field too. Especially like I've seen the Bucks do this in Global Force as well, where they would use the I think they chased a couple guys down the bases, the Global Force show.
Mm-hmm.
Two matches utilize the field, and I don't want to spoil too much of it because it's like you said, it's on DVD. It was just released.
I think you get
on demand too, yeah. Yesterday, I think.
I spoiled the whole thing, but whatever.
That's all right. I really thought the 8-man was going to be my match of the night too, because anytime you see the Bucks live, they do something incredible. Sometimes it doesn't translate to TV or the internet, like watching it on a DVD.
Mm-hmm.
But live, they are just – they own a crowd. They have them just in the palm of their hands, and mm-hmm, they did this time too, but it was more of a comedy and high flying match. The Strong Okada match was incredible because of Strong's offense. He worked his butt off. I mean, he was just drenched by the end of that match.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a muggy night, and he was getting all the offense in. So the other part that I enjoyed was the fact that Okada, a huge star in Japan, let Strong get that much offense in. We kind of played the just getting, the face in peril, just getting beat up and destroyed, but then coming back with his big moves at the end to hold him off. It made Strong look like $1 million that not only was he able to keep up with Okada, but pretty much outclass him the whole way. And hopefully this means, Strong has had a great year, but he keeps coming up short in title matches. And I don't know if he's going to get many more opportunities.
Right.
Perhaps he'll be one guy that gets to go to New Japan. He's been in Dragon Gate in years past, but maybe he'll be a guy that gets to go over with their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I don't usually get to talk Ring of Honor, so I can do this all night.
I know you can. I wanted everybody to get their thoughts because by the way, I may do a segment in a future main event about the statute of limitations on spoilers. To me, it's 48 hours.
Hmm.
So if you don't know the results by now, then you've lived in a hole. So that's just my opinion.
Sure.
So what's your match of the night?
Same with you. Strong Okada 1, 8-man 2. I think the gauntlet would be 3 for me.
Hmm. Okay.
Just because there was a lot of fun moments in there, and my girl Veda was there.
Yes. She's the redhead, right?
Yes.
Yeah, she's hot.
Also a lawyer and someone who makes vegan cupcakes and likes cats. So, I mean, pretty much a dream right there.
Glenn, your observations, any observations of the show in general, the ballpark, that kind of thing, and then your match of the night.
The ballpark was a great atmosphere. I can just look out and see the roller coaster still going late into the night.
Yeah.
That was great. The crowd dynamics were kind of interesting because, like Steve said, you couldn't really with the open air crowd, you can't hear it as much. I mean, everyone talks about it whenever WWE runs a football stadium or anyone runs one of these stadium shows.
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting to hear just how much you could hear being in the building, such as it is. The crowd was really, really soft coming back after the intermission, which I think is a combination of the intermission itself and the 8-man tag with the Young Bucks and Evan Bourne just totally maxing everyone out.
Hmm.
And then coming back that soft, Goto versus Elgin did not do the job of getting everyone back into it.
No.
But then they had the Briscoes, which everyone was major into, and then that Roderick Strong match, which really built, and I think the structure of that was really nice. I still have to go with the 8-man for my match of the night, though, even though I really liked Okada versus Strong by the end of the match, by the time it built up and got all that energy going.
Right.
And the gauntlet match was just a ton of fun. I was big into Dalton Castle. I was big into Moose, who I don't think I'd seen in an actual match before. I'm a spotty viewer of the Ring of Honor TV show.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
And of course, Cousin Luke.
Yeah, he was signing autographs. I will give him that. He was signing autographs after the
He was signing autographs during intermission. When they announced that, I looked up towards where he was and decided that the line probably wouldn't finish by the time intermission ended, so I didn't go up there and try to get an autograph.
Yeah, it was a little bonkers during the intermission. They had one concession stand merchandise stand. Didn't buy anything. They did have on the table. And then I got good news from the not time to butter up Kevin Kelly. They do sell now the replica Ring of Honor World Title Belt. I think it's $350 because I think the current World Title Belt is awesome. I think it's the best belt they've ever had.
Something else to mention, of course, was the Cow of Honor as played by Place to Be Nation's own Steve Corino.
Yes. And I don't know if he knew it ahead of time, but JR called it. He goes, "That's Carino," and of course he had a race or something around the bases with Cheeseburger in between a couple of matches, and then Cheeseburger beat the crap out of him, and then he took it.
He started healing it up.
Yeah, he started healing it up, and then he took the cow head off, and there was Carino, and he was doing the game with Kevin Kelly, the show with Kevin Kelly, and of course Kevin had a Mets jersey on. He's a Mets fan, as am I. And
buttering you up now.
Yes, yeah, except he didn't know who I was. I think he thought I had a toupee. Great. All right. Thank you, Glenn. Cowboy. Observations of the ballpark, how it kind of reflected the car or the matches and the ring and the fans, and then what was your match of the night?
Yeah, so I mean, I don't want to be a jerk, but I thought it was like a pretty significant step down just overall from the one we went to in Philly.
Okay.
And I think the baseball stadium had something to do with that. It's a different feel. Maybe it's a feel you have to get used to, but it's just
okay.
It didn't totally do it for me. I still absolutely had a great time and thought it was a good show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with Glenn for match of the night. I thought the 8-man was the match of the night. I do agree that the Strong Okada match was second, and I really liked. Shocking to everyone. I haven't watched a lot of Japanese wrestling, so
neither have I. So join the club.
Yeah, I'm with you, Roger. I had hardly any idea who any of these guys were, other than Ring of Honor fans love them. So yeah, I went in with an open mind.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, no, and it seemed like I think they pretty much all won. which I guess that's part of the deal coming over.
Yes.
But I really liked the first time I've seen him, Nakamura. I thought he had a lot of pizzazz in the main event. So mm-hmm. even though the match wasn't a great match, I thought, you know, him being in it, I thought he was really good. So I would put that at number three.
Okay. All right. I've been to that building for Mets games, Cyclones games. And I've always wanted to go for, I think our man Ben Morse went to a TNA show there once. And I know he went to last year's Ring of Honor show there. But I agree with you, Roger. And it kind of goes along with me about outdoor concerts. I feel like sound gets like lost in the air in outdoor shows. So I agree with you to a certain extent. I still love the, like Glenn said and Steve, I love Coney Island anyway. So I love the Wonder Wheel and the Cyclone and the Thunderbird. It was just the outside. And then during the day, the water is out there. It's a gorgeous view. Again, I loved Okada and Strong. I think only because the eight-man tag was awesome. I put that at my number two. But I think my expectations of it were so ridiculously high because of the participants based on the sixth man that we saw, Cowboy, in Philly. So I think I overdid it for that match. But Okada Strong was very good. The Briscoes, I've always been a Briscoes mark anyway. So that match with the time splitters, I didn't know a lot about Kushida, but I liked Shelley when he was in the Motor City Machine Guns. And of course, the Briscoes. So I enjoyed that match as well. And the eight-man was good, too. I'd never seen Dalton Castle before, Steve. I liked his boots. His boots had to use a cowboy adjective. His boots had pizzazz. I liked them, and yeah, I think I might jump on the Dalton Castle bandwagon with everybody else. So there you go. There was Field of Honor on Saturday night. It was a good house show. It was fun, and it's on both the on demand on ROHWrestling.com, and eventually they will put it on they'll put it on DVD. All right, the show we were not at, but deserves just as much discussion, happened on the other side of the borough in the building we would be at the next night. And that is, of course, NXT TakeOver Brooklyn, New York. And that was, of course, at the Barclays Center, which sold out. And I love the open. There was a great open where Triple H was in the middle of the ring. He had the light over him, and he did this whole little, like, kind of like narrative, and then the lights went up and the place was full, and including the upper bowl, which I didn't realize until somebody told me on Monday when I came back. A couple of coworkers who went to NXT as well. Here is your results. There were four dark match. You know what? We'll skip those because those are going to be on.
Yeah, we're going to see them on TV in the next.
Yeah, they'll be on.
Weeks.
Yeah, it'll be on. Actually, I think two of these matches will be on tomorrow. So. On tomorrow on well, no, they must have been on today because it was Thursday.
Yeah.
So they've already aired, but you can check it out on the network. The pay-per-view matches, or the network special matches, Jushin Liger made his WWE debut after over 30 years of a wrestling career. By the way, Liger is 50.
Hot up-and-comer.
Yeah, yep. you wouldn't know it watching this match.
No. And he wasn't fat. That was another thing that pissed me. Oh, my God, he's so fat. He's 50. I mean, come on. Give the guy a break. He didn't look that bad. He beat Tyler Breeze, who's become the jobber to the stars, it seems like, in NXT. A match, Willie, that you and I were thoroughly pumped about, which I got the stink eye from D'Amato because I broke the spoiler rule. The Vaudevillains are your new tag team champions. They defeated.
What?
Yep, they defeated Blake and Murphy. Big fan of blue pants, by the way, Willie. I am watching this.
Not her shirt. Yeah. Not that shirt.
No. So the Vaudevillains, now we can wear our shirts, Willie, are your tag team champions. Apollo Crews, I don't know, guy might be my one of my new three like favorite guys in the company, defeated Ty Dillinger in his debut. Samoa Joe defeated Baron Corbin. Thank God. Although, I got to comment on that match in a minute. In what many consider the match of the night, Bayley is your new women's champion. She defeated Sasha Banks in a very, very good match. And some people consider it match of the night. And it probably was. And in the main event, Finn Balor successfully defended his NXT championship, defeating Kevin Owens in what would be considered Kevin Owens' NXT exit interview in a ladder match. I don't think you'll see Kevin. Well, I don't think you'll ever see him again, but at this point, we all know now he's no longer an NXT regular. He's officially probably an alumni. Watching on TV, Glenn, the place was hopping.
Oh, yeah. It was full and everyone was stoked. That the sort of brand difference that WWE was looking for when they did the Raw SmackDown brand split, they have now with NXT, because NXT is viewed by the audience as this like underdog upstart where things are actually done well.
Right.
And there's this dynamic where people come to NXT and, with some exceptions, based on where they come from or what they do once they're in NXT, how they perform. But a lot of people come to NXT and are just embraced by the crowd. And this show in Brooklyn, I think, shows that it's not just the regulars that they've cultivated at Full Sail. Mm-hmm. That this thing really can travel.
Yes.
I mean, I know it's a big show and they had people traveling in to go to SummerSlam, but a lot of those people got their Ring of Honor tickets before they announced the NXT show, too.
Yes.
Like us.
Yes.
And I'm glad I did, because I got to see NXT, you know, when I got home. I put it on TV. So mm-hmm. I'm glad to have gone to Ring of Honor with all you fine folks anyway. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But everyone was stoked for this, and you could see each wrestler, most of them anyway, kind of absorb the atmosphere when they came out, especially Apollo Crews, because he's making his debut in the developmental division and he gets greeted by this.
Yeah.
And it's just such a big moment, and he stops and just soaks it in for a second. And that was a great moment, I thought. I definitely think Bayley versus Sasha is the match of the night, and that's not an insult to the main event. Because mm-hmm. that women's title match absolutely lives up to some of the great NXT women's title matches. Mm-hmm. I've seen people saying it's better than Sasha versus Becky Lynch. I'm not sure of that as a technical wrestling match, but it was an amazing match and it had amazing emotion. And I know Steve's going to want to talk about this. We're going to want to talk about this more, but it had an amazing emotional arc that really brought a story around that was really well told.
Yeah.
So that was all wrapped up in it. And there were such great moments within that. And then the main event comes and it's two guys that the crowd likes, two guys who were solid, good wrestlers just throwing bombs. And it's a different style, but it's really carrying it too. It was a great, great show.
Yeah, I agree with you about the emotion part, because everyone knows, as I'm a huge Becky Lynch fan, and her match with Sasha at the last TakeOver was awesome. But watching it today, you are exactly right, Glenn. Psychologically, this match told a very different story, because Sasha was just nasty in this match.
Oh, yeah.
She was kicking Bayley. She was throwing her hand into the steps. She slammed her hand into the steps because she, of course, was selling a broken hand earlier in the summer. And Bayley, to her credit, she sold it and told it. I will give Bayley her due. Everyone knows I'm not her biggest fan, but I will give the devil her due. She went in there and she worked her ass off psychologically.
Yeah, yeah. How are you coming around on her now?
Well, you know, it's funny. I went to work Monday, and one of my buddies who went to the show bought a Bayley shirt
for you.
You know, and when I see a guy wearing a Bayley shirt that's not Steve or Jordan, then okay. Maybe she is legit.
Do you watch NXT TV regularly? Have you seen the last several weeks as she's been kind of building up her streak?
I have.
Coming up to this?
On and off. I've watched one and then I'll miss a week and I got to catch up. But I know that the storyline helped her. And she was really the only one. I think that was the best part about this. This was the first women's storyline, Diva storyline in NXT that had a WWE feel to it and didn't fuck it up. You know what I'm saying? Like, it didn't have that overly dramatic, you know, Trish Lita storyline that was so syrupy with drama and everything. This was fine. Sasha was the champion with the, you know, hot with the red hair and looking sharp, and Bailey's the dork with the tassels and the headband, and they sold that well. And Saturday night they executed it. So she is growing on me, and I'd like curious to see how the next couple of, you know, next month and a half go for her, and how she can carry the because right now she's pretty much the, because Sasha's gone. She's with the rest of them now in WWE with Becky and Charlotte and them. So curious to see if she's got a deal. Here, let's put it this way.
Yeah.
Bailey needs to continue for a bit with good workers, because if her next feud is Dana Brooke, she's screwed.
Oof. Yeah.
They're in trouble. They're in trouble down there.
The graduations have gotten a little much. We talked about that in the last couple of main events. What did you think of were you surprised the tag title change, Glenn? Were you surprised the Vaudevillains won?
I wasn't surprised at the tag title change, because the whole storyline for the last month or two has been building up to them bringing someone out to counter Alexa Bliss and finally getting over on Blake and Murphy. That was one match that I didn't think was that remarkable as a match, but the atmosphere elevates it.
Okay.
I mean, everyone was really into it because they were really into everything. So it kind of took what would have been, you know, just a regular match you can see on NXT any old week and turned it into a moment.
That's a good point. Willie, Balor, Owens. Personally, fantastic match. Thought the one in Tokyo was better. What about you?
I wasn't expecting that question. That's a good... Yes, I'll agree with you, because this was kind of going back to your 8-man tag and ROH comment. I was expecting a little more, and I shouldn't have been, because I've seen a lot of Kevin Steen / Owens ladder matches in the past, and the violence is usually ramped up a little bit, and it was kind of a typical WWE ladder match. There wasn't much different than you would see, you know, where Sasha Bailey was something that you would never see in WWE television to this point. Maybe in the future we will. That was kind of a typical WWE ladder match.
Right.
So, yeah, coming after that match, too, they had to do something bigger, I feel, to warrant their main event status, which is really weird to say. That you had to follow a women's match and do better, because usually that's the bathroom match on a WWE pay-per-view before the main event. So yeah, I agree with you.
Okay.
Still a great match.
It was a fantastic match, but I think the spots, I was like, all right, ladder match spots. That's nice. I think the storytelling in Tokyo was a little bit better, but the match was fantastic and it took up the most time. It got 21:45. The Bailey Sasha match got 18:22. What do you think of Apollo Crews, Willie?
I have not seen him, which is, you know, I watch a lot of indie stuff, but he was in like Evolve, and I kind of soured on Evolve over the last couple of years because of their owner / booker, Carney Ways. So I'm not a big fan of his. So I have not seen him. I wasn't that impressed. I love the entrance. He's got an awesome look. Looks like a star. I know he can fly for quite a bit for a 260-pounder. But there wasn't I felt that he should have gotten more in on Ty Dillinger. I know they got a new character, this 10 character in on him, but he had a lot of offense in on Apollo for a debut, and there wasn't really any spectacular moves that he did, you know, to kind of wow the crowd. It's just kind of, you know, basic type stuff, and maybe he'll break that out later. Maybe it was just to get him the big rub. But like Glenn said, I loved his entrance, and you know, when he's wrestling in Evolve, he's literally wrestling in front of 150 people. And I know he was in Dragon Gate. You're going to get a couple thousand there, but to come out in front of nearly 16,000 people had to have been quite of a shock.
Yeah, exactly.
For a lot of these guys, really.
One more question, and then we'll make a quick announcement about the NXT future dates. Glenn, do we see Liger again?
There's a rumor that's been going around to that effect. I am really not sure. I don't think we see him on any sort of regular basis. I don't think we get him like in feuds or anything.
No. I agree.
He might make a spot appearance at a takeover. Maybe the ones you're going to talk about in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it seems like a match with him and a Tommy is almost ready made.
Sure,
you would think, right? You know, whenever he's healthy. I feel like these guys are taking forever to heal. Seems weird. He's not back yet. Sami Zayn's not back yet.
Yeah, I was thinking earlier that Sami Zayn ought to be back within the next few months, but then I remembered that promo he did on NXT a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, when he said he won't be back until next year.
Ugh.
Which is really unfortunate because he really got derailed.
Yeah. They're going to have to start from... I mean, he'll have his crowd. The crowd will be back for him, so...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the crowd was chanting for him at SummerSlam. But they'll need him by the time he gets back, too. They could use him now, certainly.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
But considering all the people they've brought up, they're going to need him. And a Tommy.
Yes. So the announcement that was made, I guess it was made there before they went on the air, my buddy was telling me at work. The next takeover will be in October. However, that'll be down at Full Sail. However, they did announce that from December 10th to December 16th, NXT is going across the pond, mate. Maybe I should do my parv.
Exile.
Wow.
Exile on Bad Street.
Exile on Bad Street.
They'll be in the UK from December 10th to the 16th, which will culminate on December 16th, which is a Wednesday, with a live NXT takeover from Wembley Arena. That is awesome. Sadly, a lot of people will be at work. I'll get to watch it because it's part of my work. You figure 8 o'clock bell time, what are they, 5 ahead? So it's probably like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, something like that. So that's coming up in December. But there will be a takeover in October as well. All right, why don't we take a break here on Main Event. Scott Criscolo, Steve Willey. Glenn Butler, and the Cowboy, Roger Morissette. When we come back, we'll be joined by another member of the Weekend posse, and we will
Matt
talk
Rotella,
about...
Matt Rotella. Sorry for interrupting that.
Shut up, Reesh. Oh, sorry. Sorry, Willie. Yeah, I had it. I lost my train of thought.
We're going to be joined
this
by...
This is why he's never going to be on
Dr.
again.
Dr. G. No. Dr. G.
Thank you. The doctor.
We're going to be joined by Dr. G. And after the break, let's hear it for New Day.
And we'll talk about SummerSlam coming up after the break on Main Event.
Because.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com, The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes and placetobenation.com. You can check out myself and Scott Criscolo on The Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, home of great interviews and our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you there, including Main Events, which features roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, including immediate feedback and discussion for WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, and New Japan Super Shows, and Wrestling with Optimism, which focuses on the positives of the business. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast, Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave's Wrestling Culture podcast, our monthly pay-per-view rewind roundtable series led by Ben Morse, and the Dangerous Alliance podcast starring myself and Pro Wrestling Only's Will, diving into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. Sports fans have plenty to dive into as well. We feature The Extra Point with Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, The Kings of Sport featuring Live Audio Wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, The Sports Lounge hosted by Cowboy and Cowboy Sr., as well as the NBA Team Podcast, which takes a year-round deep dive into pro hoops. PTBN also proudly features Richard and the Mailman podcast, which specializes in the world of TV, thought leadership, anger, and irreverence. As mentioned, all of these shows are available on PlacemanNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN is also home to the tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments, and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, in Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keats, RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net.
Do you watch pro wrestling? Do you love pro wrestling? We do too. And there's only one podcast feed that you can't miss.
PWO PTBN Podcast Network. That's the pro wrestling only Place to Be Nation Podcast Network.
We have a host of brilliant shows dedicated to wrestling past and present.
Whether it's the territories, Japan, Lucha, old school or new school, we've got something for you.
Get a dose of history on Exile on Bad Street with Chris Zellner.
Listen to reviews of current pay-per-views on the PTBN reaction shows. Not just WWE, but New Japan, Ring of Honor, and NXT. And get your weekly update on everything else that's going on in the indies, Lucha, and beyond on This Week in Wrestling.
Relive WCW Supercards on Where the Big Boys Play with Parv and Chad.
Join Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave on one of the very best shows for super hardcore nerds wrestling culture.
Go deep into WWF history and discover the Bob Backlund and Bruno Sammartino eras on Titans of Wrestling.
Don't miss the Pro Wrestling Super Show with Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston.
You can get the full archive of Good Will Wrestling with Good Ol' Will from Texas.
There's Tag Teams back again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze.
Then there's the only pro wrestling game show, Brain Buster, with me, Johnny Sorrow, and a panel of great guests every time.
Get them all on one feed.
PWO-PTBN Podcast Network.
You know you want to hear it.
Welcome back, Place to Be Nation, to episode 42 of the main event. Got Glenn Butler, Steve Willie, Cowboy, Roger Morissette, and another guest who already know who it is, but we'll bring him in a second. PlaceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. It's been a fun week here on the website. And speaking of a show I mentioned before the break,
Exile on Bud Street.
Episode 13, The Indie Taken. Chris is joined by Wes Hatch and Rob Naylor to discuss the current greatness of August 2015, indie wrestling, not just in the U.S., but in the U.K. as well, talking about Evolve and some other promotions as well. So check that out. Exile on Bad Street, episode 13, The Indie Taken. Super Extreme Vault. Glenny Bunn, you were on that show. Tell us about
yes,
it.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we were talking about Living Dangerously 99. We had Tajiri and Super Crazy. We had Place to Be Nation's own Steve Corino on his first ECW pay-per-view. We had a match with RVD and Jerry Lynn and their storied rivalry, and much, much more. That's me with Stephen Graham and Mark Clare every month, as often as we can make it happen every month. We're going into the ECW vault.
Super. So check it out. Super Extreme Vault. Stephen Graham, Glenn, Mark Clare, Living Dangerously 99. That was not the one in Danbury. That was 2000, I think. Right?
This wasn't the
Cowbell match, right?
No, this one was in Asbury Park.
Okay. Not 2000 was, I think, the one in Danbury.
2000, yep.
Yeah. JR and I are redoing our Vintage Vault refreshes. Today we released In Your House number 4, the end of Diesel's run. Place Me Network Rewind series. Glenny Bunn, you were on this one too, and this I hope you guys treated this well. Ben Morris was with you, JD, and the Godfather, Nate Milton. Maybe my favorite SummerSlam of all time, SummerSlam 2002 from Nassau Coliseum. I hold that show in very high regard. Others don't. One of them was on Main Event last week. And it's just a fantastic show. So, Glenn, you're all over this website because that's who you are.
Yeah, it's been a big week of podcasting for me, and it's all coming to a head right now on the main event.
Yes, exactly. So check it out. Glenn Morse has done an awesome job with that. The Place to Be Network Rewind Series, SummerSlam 2002. He takes a
great peek. Great panel on that one. Nate was great. Jordan was great. It was a fun time.
Yep, looking forward to listening to it because, again, one of my favorite shows of all time. Another podcast up today. Tag Teams back again, Episode 8. Here comes the Axe. Here comes the Smasher. Talking about Dr. G's favorite tag team, Demolition. No. Kelly and Marty back with a new year, new teams, another round of exciting action. Six matches spotlighted from 1987, so check that out. Glenn, God, thank God you're on this show, so I don't have to do all this. Your walk around the web, any highlights?
Yeah, this week on the Wednesday walk around the web, we have a rage room you can go to in Toronto and rent some time and just wreck shit to get out some excess aggression. They give you a room with a baseball bat and some stuff, and you can work out your aggression. There are supermassive black holes in the Wednesday walk. There is the presidential campaign of D's Nuts. There is driving etiquette around the world. There's a train set without end. There are so many things in the Wednesday walk around the web. Every Wednesday at 9 a.m. sharp on placetobenation.com.
And if you want to be hypnotized, check out that train. It is amazing.
So there you go. Glenn's walk around the web. Andrew Reich and Adam Murray with your 50th NBA team podcast. So check that out as well. Between the Sheets, number 5, another podcast. Chris Zellner, David Bixenspan with Mike Sempervive. Is that how they pronounce his name? Sempervive?
Is it Sempervive?
Sempervive.
These people are just making up names to trip you up now, Scott.
I think it is, because who has a last name Sempervive? Anyway, I heard he's a great guy. He's from Wrestling Observer Live. He was Chris and Dave were with them, and they talked about the week of wrestling, August 18th through the 24th, 1987. So check that out, the newest episode of Between the Sheets. And Dr. G knows I love saying this guy's name. The TJ McAloon Show, Episode 5, Brian Kitts and the You Can Play Project. So check it out. A lot of podcasts on the website. Of course, earlier in the week, Kevin Kelly with the Kevin Kelly Show. So check it out. PlacemanNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. All right, let's talk about we talked about Saturday. Let's talk about Sunday, and I can't do that with bringing out – you know how like – you know how Jon Stewart was the host of SummerSlam? Well, he's got nothing on this guy who was technically the host of the weekend because this was his backyard we were in. He is my compadre on the Extra Point, the doctor, Dr. G, George Rubino.
How's it going, guys? I had a great time on Sunday. I was actually being a little antagonistic, which was kind of fun.
Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to that in a minute. You were in the backyard. You were kind of the host. You took a picture with JR in front of Nathan's. These guys were glowing reviews of the borough and of course Coney Island. You were at Ring of Honor. What were your thoughts on the show?
You know, I actually,
somebody doesn't follow it closely. Where we are?
No, about. You know, I don't follow it closely, but I actually, you know, the wrestling at Ring of Honor is second to none. I mean, I thought the matches were pretty good. I did enjoy the show we went to before WrestleMania a few years ago better. I liked it being in the Manhattan Center. I kind of liked that, you know, close knit, you know, like loud feel in the building.
Oh, there you go, Cowboy.
When you're in
kind
a base,
like you about indoor because Roger thought that the outdoor kind of, you know, took a little zip out of it. But you and I have thought it that way about concerts. You and I have always said that outdoor shows sometimes the sound kind of dilutes and it kind of loses its vigor.
Well, you know, I've gone to more concerts now outside, so I'm kind of getting a little bit more used to it. But I think maybe had, you know, the stadium been full, which, you know, probably there was no way it was going to happen, but maybe it would have had a little bit better of a feel. But I really enjoyed Ring of Honor. The only other show I'm sorry, I've been to two.
You went to that sweat box in Woodbridge. I was talking about
Woodbridge. Yeah, that was, but that was a fun show as well. It's just something about being inside and hearing that crowd and you just get more into it. Whereas I felt a little bit more disconnected because we were, you know, sitting in the stands and not near ringside. But other than that, I had a great time. It was a beautiful evening out. I mean, we got great weather, which we weren't expecting to get.
Yeah,
and
totally.
The atmosphere of Coney Island around was kind of cool. So it was a good time. And I thought I thought the matches were, you know, it was a glorified house show, if you want to call it that. But I, you know, I thought it was pretty good. Mm. I thought that the matches, I mean, those guys really put it out on the line, which is what you appreciate from the indies.
Yes. And of course, we capped it off with some unbelievably delicious squares at L&B Spoonwind Gardens. As a matter of fact, Steve and Glenn and Cowboy, I wanted to wait till the doctor was with us for your grade and your comments on the squares, just so you can feel guilty if you say they stink. No, I'm just kidding. Glenn, the squares at Spumoni Gardens, what'd you think?
I'm not typically a fan of that style of pizza, but that one that we had that night was really hit the spot.
Mm. And the creamsicle ice cream.
Oh, my God.
You're
yes.
welcome. That was yes. me, Dr. G. He wasn't sure what he was getting, and I said, the three favorite things that we get and your daughter gets, the Spumoni, the lemon ice, or the creamsicle ice cream. And I saw the sign. The sign was on the inside window, and I saw the creamsicle sign. And
yes,
I said to Glenn, I said, creamsicle.
Yes, you saw the sign, and it opened up your eyes.
It opened
you
up
saw
my
the
eyes.
Sign.
That's right.
But it opened up my eyes, too. I can never turn down a creamsicle ice cream.
That's absolutely.
Glad you enjoyed it.
Cowboy. I wasn't sure. You were kind of poker-faced. What'd you think?
I thought the pizza was good. The pizza was good. But you know what was – the pizza was good. It filled everybody up, got them to their optimal – you know, their optimal weight. And then that was good.
And then they couldn't fit in your car after.
That was good, Steve, for the ride home when we had four grown men packed into the back seat of a Chrysler 200.
I love it.
And you had a full D'Amato up in the back seat.
And a full D'Amato on top of me.
There are some pictures and some videos of and I know I mentioned the driving earlier, but you know, I was the one doing the driving, but
the smallest guy in the car was in the front seat.
Yeah, driver's the safest seat to be in that instance.
Oh,
there were some pictures and videos taken in the back seat throughout the weekend, and in each one of them, Steve was just white as a sheet. It looked like he was like having like a near death kind of experience. Can you talk about that, Steve?
Oh, especially on Sunday, there's just there's something about the New York highways that I'm just not down with, and I'm not used to sitting in the back seat. I'm used to driving. Yeah, white as a sheet on Sunday. Wasn't feeling the best.
Oh God!
Welcome to New York.
Yeah,
absolutely hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. So, so we ended Saturday with some fine squares at L&B Spumoni Gardens. Sunday, I have finally, after 32 years of being a wrestling fan, I have completed the Big Four. It was my first SummerSlam. We had fine seats, gentlemen, which was fantastic. Now, I've been to some pretty good crowds, and Glenn, I'm glad you, of course, watched it live on the network. I'm curious for your opinion, but for us guys, I thought the hottest crowd ever, even though the card itself was average, I thought the WrestleMania 29 crowd was pretty awesome. That crowd Sunday night might have been the most gacked crowd I think I've ever been in my entire life. Steve?
Yeah. I mean, Royal Rumble 2014 was pretty jacked for, but the opposite way. Pretty angry crowd.
Yeah, I felt that way in Philly. Yeah,
but it was a fun crowd too. It was was pretty positive.
Mm-hmm.
Versus on Raw when they were just kind of being jerks, and maybe it's because you get a lot more people at SummerSlam who are coming from out of town, out of the country, paying big money, more hardcore fans.
Right,
who are excited about the show, and it was a pretty exciting show, I'd say, in terms of it wasn't like blow away, but there was it was consistently above average matches. There wasn't anything that was just like awful. There weren't any awful matches, so the crowd was pretty excited throughout the whole thing. Quiet in a couple matches, but more just because of the people were getting burned out, I think, a little bit.
Dr. G, did starting at 7, before we get to the matches themselves, do you think starting at 7 was necessary? Do you think they could have started at 8 and have been fine?
I mean, I don't think it would have made a difference either way. I mean, I mean, being live there, it was kind of cool being at 7. You know, you didn't have to wait around or, you know, since we got there early, so it was kind of cool to get it going. But I have to say, and I've been to that crowd reminded me of an Attitude Era crowd on Sunday. I enjoyed it. I thought the crowd was really, really into it.
Mm-hmm.
But New York crowds, New York, you know, the Northeast always has great crowds. You know, Philly, Boston, you know, they're just true diehards. But and yeah, you do get people from out of town too. Don't get me wrong at some of these shows, but I just really, really enjoyed. Like, I mean, I was into it, and admittedly, I don't follow it like I used to, but I felt like I didn't miss a beat being there on Sunday night.
Mm, I agree. I concur. How did the crowd come over on through the net? Although, let me ask you this though, Glenn, because I was talking to a few people on my, you know, texting me. I know that apparently the first few minutes, I know JD had said there was issues. The network was struggling through the beginning. People had different problems. Somebody, friend of G's and mine, said that their screen was black for the first 10 minutes. Somebody else told me that it started in HD and then suddenly the screen squished and became SD. Did you have any issues watching?
My stream, I turned it on at about 20 minutes after 6 because I thought they moved the tag match to the pre-show. Thankfully not.
Right.
So I was watching live from that point. At a few minutes after 8, right at the beginning of the show, it paused for a little while, and then it came back, not in the 4:3 aspect ratio, but it came back a little fuzzy, like okay. Its SD resolution.
Right.
But that righted itself after a few more minutes, and I'd say after about the first 10 minutes of the show, with a little bit of pausing and a little bit of fuzziness, after that, I didn't have any problems.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it seemed like most, like, within about a half hour, maybe, like, by 7:30, it seemed like people that I was talking to on my phone were saying that the stream had gotten a little bit better. All right, here are your results. 48-hour spoiler rule is off limits now, although most people obviously know the results anyway. Sheamus defeated Randy Orton in what I thought was a good match, and I think both matches, their first match at Battleground and this match, I thought both of them were very good. I was optimistic. I know a lot of people aren't fans of either guy or bored of him or whatever, but I thought the match was good. The New Day. You can start singing now, Steve. Glenn.
Let's hear it for New Day, ooh. New Day, ooh. New champs.
Ooh, where's Rotella? Ooh. Actually, Justin has a nice video of him, you know, clapping crooked like he normally does. But he is the New Day are your new tag team champions. They defeated Primetime Players, the Lucha Dragons.
He's going to smack you in the mouth.
Oh. He can't even reach me.
He's going to do it off beat, though.
Exactly. He's going to miss and hit my elbow. So the New Day, your new tag team champions, but they were given a rude awakening, and no, not a neck breaker, the next night on Raw. We'll get to that in a minute.
That would be a really surprising return.
I don't know what would happen. I don't think there'd be a pop. I think the crowd would just be quiet. then the ground would open and it would swallow us all into the gates of hell.
Can't wait.
Dolph Ziggler, and then you'd show up on Nitro.
Yes. Yes, that's what happens. You get to the bottom and suddenly you're at the...
Is that what's beyond the gates of hell? Nitro is still going down there?
Yes. Mark Madden standing at the gates of hell.
Kane. Kane's at the gates of hell, guys.
Kane is...
yes, yep, you got us there.
Will's hell is Kane at the gates. Dolph Ziggler and Rusev ended in a double countout, which I had no issue with. Yeah. Stephen Amell and Neville defeated Stardust and King Barrett. A pretty good match, and I think for an actor, particularly one in good shape, Stephen Amell was fine. He did a plancha. So, right? Didn't he? Yeah, he did a plancha off the top rope onto the floor, and it was good. Ryback, the shortest match. This match did not seem like 5 minutes and 34 seconds. Ryback successfully retained his Intercontinental Championship. He beat Big Show and Miz in a triple threat. I don't know. Gee, did that match seem like it was only 5.5 minutes?
It seemed longer to me.
It's a cowboy. Did it seem longer? Did it seem longer than 5.5 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was the worst match on the card.
So it seemed like three hours.
The fact that it seemed so much longer than it was will validate my opinion.
I agree with you on that, right, Willie? It didn't seem like 5.5 minutes, did it?
Well, I think I have the best opinion on this because I left during this match to go get dinner. And I was,
oh, that's right. I did vanish.
And like, I didn't even have enough time to get my dinner before I heard the bell ring. Cause I, you know, couldn't hear the crowd in the concourse.
Right.
And so I was like, I was hoping it would be like 10, 15 minutes so I can kind of take my time, walk around, because I had no interest in seeing that match. Right. And so it definitely wasn't that long. And from what I understand, I haven't gone back to watch it. I have no intent on doing
so. There were only two matches that were shorter than 10 minutes. That match and the Amel Neville Stardust Barrett match was 7:36. Also, I think matches in general live seem longer just because you're there and into the moment emotionally, whether you're hating it or loving it. That's what I think. Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose defeated the Wyatt family, but that feud changed dynamics the next night on Raw as well. In our co-main event, Seth Rollins successfully defended the WWE World Heavyweight Championship and defeated John Cena to take the United States Championship thanks to the redonkulously bad heel turn of Jon Stewart. But to me, I don't think the ending should wreck what was a really fantastic match. And I've said this on previous main events. Just for work rate alone, John Cena should be Wrestler of the Year. The guy really hasn't had a crap match against anybody, really, to be honest with you. A couple of the Rusevs, I guess, were not great.
Play the music, baby. Right, Cowboy?
The chain match was junk against Rusev, but the stupid John Stewart.
You're a Miami Hurricane. Well, in my eyes, you're a Miami Hurricanes fan now, Cowboy, because you look.
That's a great shirt.
You look good in those colors.
I still haven't taken it off. I wear it to work.
So now it looks like a spray tan now. So,
It'll get to be like Luke Harper's shirt soon.
Yes.
Give me a length. How long do you think this match was?
12 minutes.
Not even close, Glenn. Watching it.
I'm looking at the list on Wikipedia.
Oh, okay. All right, so never mind.
19 minutes and 20 seconds.
That's right. No, 19 minutes and 27 seconds.
Yeah,
no.
Decent ass, Raj.
Was it really
1927?
1927.
I swear, I'm not looking at anything.
So you didn't think you didn't think it didn't seem that long to you, Jay? Or it was 12, or did 12 minutes seem long to you?
I don't know. I just thought the number, to be honest with you.
I definitely thought it was over 20. Anyway, it was a good match.
It was a good match.
In the Elimination Divas match, Team PCB, Paige, Charlotte, and Becky defeated Team Bella and Team BAD. They should be bad because all of them are, except Sasha.
That's where I went to get food.
Great match though, 15-18. I would go on the network G and watch it. You'll like it. It was good.
That was our Mentos match of the night.
That was our Mentos match of the night. Yes, it was. He was I won't get into D'Amato's poll. Kevin Owens defeated Cesaro in rebounding from his ladder match loss the night before, 14-21 for that match. And finally, the longest match of the night at 20 minutes and 4 seconds, another convoluted finish, but not a horrendous match.
Yeah, we can get into this one.
The Undertaker gets revenge and defeats Brock Lesnar by submission, but really wasn't submission. We'll get to that in a minute. Let me just cherry pick and go around the horn. Cowboy, your thoughts on what'd you think of Wyatt Family, Reigns and Ambrose? Your observations of that one.
I mean, I expected a little more from it at SummerSlam, but I really liked what happened the next night with the new Wyatt family member that's like cross between Ogre from Revenge of the Nerds and the Mountain from Game of Thrones.
Yes.
So the fact that it kind of set that up, I'm good with it. I mean, it wasn't a terrible match, but it wasn't, you know, from those guys, I would expect a little bit more than what we got.
Okay. All right. I enjoyed it. Of course, on Raw, a new, Wyatt member debuted. He kind of looked like Hansen in Ring of Honor. Does he have a name? Did they give him a name?
Glenn, yes, I really want but you to it's something it. Something Strowman.
Oh, Braun Strowman.
There you go.
Braun Strowman.
Braun Strowman.
Yes,
he does look.
That's what I was waiting for.
He looks like he really does. He looks like Ogre.
He does look like Ogre.
He looks. I didn't see Raw, and it's not one of the couple clips I looked up before we started here. I've just seen a couple of pictures of him from Raw, and it's amazing to me how a man can have such a baby face and a big bushy beard. I didn't think that was possible.
Yeah, his face. He does have like like his skin's not grizzled. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, he's got like the big puffy cheeks and big eyes. He really looks like he has a baby face, except he also has the Wyatt beard. It's kind of amazing, actually.
Mm. Willie, I don't know if you watch Arrow or you know who Stephen Amell is, but what do you think of his performance in that match?
I thought he was outstanding, considering he's a celebrity. Mm. I tried to think of it there, and I thought about it afterwards. I can't think of a celebrity in the history of WWE who did better, at least athletically.
Even LT?
Yes. Well, that's a good one.
Or Mr. T, even, but yeah, that's different circumstance.
Yeah, I mean, that one, I mean, 80s, he didn't really have to do much of anything.
Yeah, and LT was a straight-up athlete, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, Amell's an actor. I don't watch Arrow. I've seen him on Flash. He looked like a guy, a guy who is really in shape, but not as big as a wrestler. And then he wrestled as that shape. You know, he was trying to like sneak out of moves, doing little backflips, you know, not doing anything like too major. And I think I give them props for that. And what the finish needed to be that way. It needed to be Neville giving the red arrow to, well, they did to Barrett, because I, you know, it looks like they still want to do the Neville Stardust feud a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But that finisher, I was pretty impressed with him.
That finisher, that red arrow finisher is incredible.
Sick. It's
just like Kidman. I used to love Kidman's shooting star. Because when you're trying to aim at a guy and hit him flush, it's very difficult in some moves. And every time Neville hits it,
He never misses it.
Hits it perfectly.
I might be nitpicking here, and it does look great once he's in the air and he hits it great and he doesn't miss him. I mean, he's no John Morrison in that regard, who missed Starship Pain about 100% of the time.
He really did. He hits the guy's chest.
But the preparation for the move kind of gets on my nerves a little when Neville gets up to the top and rises slowly, tentatively, like he's scared, and then jumps off before he's even standing up straight. Mm-hmm. That bugs me just a little bit, but it looks amazing after that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I feel like he's told to do that. I'm betting that he's told
he's probably
to do that.
Like pump. That's a Vince. That sounds like a Vince thing. You know,
because he flies all over the place. Like, I've seen him before. He was in WWE, and I think he's actually curtailed his flying quite a bit, which is weird considering the nickname they're giving him. You know, the man that it's always been his nickname, but the man that gravity forgot. But he does one move.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah. He did like maybe two or three flying moves in this match, and that's more than he usually does during the course of a match. It's mainly just his finisher.
Mm. Gee, since you don't watch Arrow and you probably had no idea who the guy was, from the other side of the coin, what did you think of his performance?
I think he did a good job. I was more upset. I mean, you know, at least he seemed like he was an athlete. He did a good job. Like, I didn't like the whole Jon Stewart.
Well, we'll get to that in a minute. I agree with you.
I hate that. But no, he did a good job. Of course, I was rooting for the other team, but
yes, of course you were. I don't think it hurts. I mean, I don't know if Barrett's kind of a mess right now, but I think I agree with you, Willie. I think it was you who said it, Willie.
He needs to go to be back to being Bad News Barrett again.
I have a feeling he's going to be. King thing doesn't fly anymore. They might as well not even bother. Any King storyline is dumb. So I don't think they should even bother trying to do that anymore. But is it you, Willie, that said that that you thought the Stardust Neville feud would continue? Was that you?
Yeah.
I agree with you on that. I think you'll see them in a match at singles match at Night of Champions.
I tell you, Cody Rhodes really does a good job with that character. I mean,
he's a great character.
I mean,
I'm sure his father was proud of him and. God rest his soul. I'm sure he's still proud of him now.
He was his Frank Gorshin impression throughout the promo video was great.
Oh, you know what we didn't mention, by the way? I want to go back to the previous segment for just a second. I also forgot. I also wanted to mention, besides the British tour coming up in December for NXT, They are doing the first annual, I hope this is an annual thing, the first annual Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic, kind of like the old Crockett Cup there, Doctor. And so some tag matches are in the can, I believe, now. The one team, I think Balor and Joe is a team. How awesome is that? Wow. They've got to make it to the final. They've got to make it to the final, I would think. The other team is Neville and, who's the other guy? Rotel and I were talking about it today. Shit. Not Neville and Atami. Who the hell was the other guy?
You and Rotel were talking about shit?
Well, I talk about shit with him all the time. It's his favorite topic. It's kind of like the episode of How I Met Your Mother where they text the shapes, and he's into that. Now, great show, by the way. God, I didn't get anything out of that, huh? Well, it is Rotel. I guess it's really not funny. I can't think of who Neville's partner is, but he's really cool, though. Anyway, I can't think of his partner. I'm going to have to go to Lords of Pain because that's who had it.
You're going to get all the guys listening to you out there are going to be
wondering.
They're yelling at their phones and computers right now.
Yes.
He should know that.
He should know who the tag team guy is.
You're hosting a show and you don't know?
Well, I mean,
it's Corey Graves. We'll just say Corey Graves.
Great. All right.
It's Jushin Liger.
It's Triple H. All right. Cowboy. Are you surprised John Cena lost?
Yes. Yeah, really. I really thought he was going to win this one. It kind of felt like Rollins's reign was over. But it is what it is. I actually didn't mind what happened. I thought it was a way to, you know, like Cena didn't like really lose the match on his own, and the you know, having Jon Stewart do that kind of brings in some of the mainstream, right? It was all over the actual news and stuff. So, yeah. I don't know what you think of Jon Stewart. I think he's a pretty funny guy and a, you know, good guy to be associated with the game we love.
Ugh.
He's a legit fan too.
But he looked stupid. Yeah. Stupid.
He didn't really know how to behave once he was in the match.
He should have just run in with the chair. Because I guess everybody saw that he made amends with Rollins on the Daily Show, I guess on his last show. So I just run in with the chair and hit Cena and leave instead of staring at each other and leaning in and leaning over and leaning over again.
I don't think that was his choice. I think that was written for him.
I think it was.
Really?
They also should have realized that here's a guy who doesn't know how to do
it. Well, and he's in his 50s.
It was
right?
Probably Triple H that wrote it. Don't worry about it.
I kind of assumed that was him not really knowing how to behave and kind of milking the moment a little too much.
Yeah, but you know, it does. But unlike other people, does not take away from the match for me. The match was still fantastic. Match mm-hmm. was awesome.
Oh yeah, it was a great match, like you'd expect from these two matched up against each other.
Loved Rollins' new Mordecai tights. You know, he's now wearing white, which is pretty badass.
Oh really? Did you think it was white and gold? I thought it was blue.
No, dear, I get it.
All right, so here we go. let's detour for just a moment. Regarding the WWE NXT Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic Tournament that kicks off next Wednesday, matches for the tourney were taped at the most recent NXT TV tapings from Full Sail. Here are the confirmed matches. Here are your teams. Ready? These are four matches. Samoa Joe and Finn Balor versus the Lucha Dragons. Rhino and Baron Corbin versus The Ascension.
Oh
God, it's terrible.
God.
Jason
Rhino
Jordan.
Score them all.
Jason Jordan and Chad Gable versus, here we go, Neville and Solomon Crowe.
Mm.
Dig that. Huh. Oh, here's my team, guys. This is my team. My upset pick, Tyler Breeze and Bull Dempsey. Because if anybody can make Tyler Breeze a better wrestler, it's Bull Dempsey.
Yeah, can Tyler carry Bull to something that's entertaining?
Dr. G, in case you don't know who that is, Bull Dempsey is Jerry Blackwell with a bag of Doritos. Just leave it at that. And their team, Johnny Gargano.
Oh, Tommaso?
And Tommaso Ciampa.
Nice.
Chumpy! So there you go.
Good for him.
So I'm pumped. Some damn good teams. They better make a cool, like, dusty-looking polka dot trophy. That's what I think they should do. Actually, that pissed off Dr. G because he hates the polka dots. What do you think you should have, Dr. G? Do you think it should be shaped like a cowbell, you think? a bust of Sapphire's head.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Well, we are
and
looking.
Then JR for would buy it. Then JR would buy it.
Polka dots, though. I hate the polka dots.
Then JR should buy it. Then if it's a bust of Sapphire, we Sapphire. So anyway, those are your teams. Those are your matches. Samoa Joe and Finn Balor versus the Lucha Dragons. Rhino and Baron Corbin versus the Ascension. Jason Jordan and Chad Gable versus Solomon Crowe and Neville. I like that team. And then Tyler Breeze and Bull Dempsey versus Johnny Gargano and Jumpy. Okay, back to SummerSlam. Glenn, did the ending ruin the match for you? Like, Did you love the match until the end? And did the end ruin it? Or are you like me where it's like, my God, that match was awesome, and I'll just take out the last 30 seconds?
Still talking about the title match?
Yes.
Okay, because we got finishes all over the place here.
I know, yes, this one. Well, we'll get to the other finish in a minute.
Cool. No, I still really liked the match. I am glad that Rollins still has the title, because I like him as champion, because I don't watch Raw, I guess. So I'm glad he still has the title. I'm a little disappointed that he won the U.S. title, but there was no good way out of this once they made it title for title. They had to do something. It's just a little weird to see all the work that Cena's put into the U.S. title blown off by giving it to Seth Rollins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Agreed.
But it was a tremendous match. The finish, yeah, I mean, it was dumb and it wasn't executed in the best way. I mean, there was a ref bump for the first time, and I mean, they really don't do ref bumps that much anymore.
Good.
But unlike blood, where if we see blood nowadays, it's wow, we really don't see blood, and here it is, like we'll talk about later as well. Mm-hmm. But with the ref bump, they haven't done ref bumps that much in the last, what, 4 years? 5 years, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
But then when they did the ref bump on Sunday, I said, oh yeah, it's a ref bump. So
right.
Going away from that didn't make it more impressive. It was just, oh, hey, that's back.
Okay.
Otherwise, yeah, still loved the match.
Okay. Willie, yes. Owen Cesaro.
Yes.
Which match of the weekend for Owens was better, Saturday or Sunday?
Ooh.
Owens in losing Saturday or Owens in winning Sunday?
Well, there's two takes on it, which is like probably overall the better match for Owens. I would say the NXT match. Which one did I enjoy more? The one at SummerSlam, because those are my two favorite guys.
Yes.
So I really personally enjoyed that match more. But I would think looking at it with an unbiased viewpoint, I would say the NXT one was better.
Okay. Wow. Cesaro's got a new shirt, by the way. Pretty cool.
I know. I know.
None of the shirts I wanted to buy. I did buy the SummerSlam one that says I was there, which is pretty awesome. Because the one I wanted, which is the Fight Owens Fight, the red and blue one, was not there.
I think if I buy any more wrestling or comic book related shirts, my wife's not going to go out in public with me anymore.
I know. I didn't have this many wrestling shirts when I was a teenager.
I didn't either.
Because you didn't have any money.
Yeah, that's
yeah, exactly. Point.
Yeah. Cowboy, Dolph Rusev, did the double count out bug you?
No. I mean, that match was really all about the girl fight, right?
Right.
So.
Yeah.
It doesn't really, but you know, it didn't really matter to me who won between Dolph and Rusev. So, but I think it was fine to continue things to set up the eventual girl fight, which will be the payoff.
Yeah. I'm anticipating we're going to get a mixed tag at Night of Champions, I'm guessing. Right. So, all right, Doctor.
Yes, sir.
Because this was the match you were most critical of. You were calling it the AKA Freelance Heavyweight Championship for the part-timers. Let's not talk about the ending for a minute. In terms of the match itself, now you sat right next to me at Boneheads a year and a half ago at WrestleMania 30, and you watched this one. Did this one improve at all from the one at WrestleMania 30 between Brock Lesnar and Taker?
Yeah, I mean, Taker got winded very easily in this match, I thought. I thought he looked like he was...
He did blow up early. I think it seems like he did get a second wind.
Yes, he did.
But like 5 minutes in, if you remember when he was going to do the leg drop on the apron, he looked like he was heaving.
You know, it's going to be probably this biased thing. I think I like this match better because I was there and it was different. Okay. The crowd was really into it. It's a different feel. I would say, maybe this match is a little better than the first one. You know, like you said, I think Undertaker definitely rebounded. But Brock, you know, Brock is a tough guy to get in the ring with. I mean, he's very stiff.
Yep. I think Brock has now tied Austin for the most pay-per-view matches, pay-per-view match opponents that Taker's had, right? This is their fifth pay-per-view match, if I do the math right. Unforgiven 02, No Mercy 02, No Mercy 03, WrestleMania 30, and here. That's five. And then Austin Taker, let's see, Cold Day in Hell, SummerSlam 98. I guess Breakdown 98, the three-way. Rock Bottom.
Are you looking this up?
Nope.
Do you remember
it's going out of my head. Rock Bottom 98.
Spin it off the dome.
Rock Bottom 98, Over the Edge 99, Fully Loaded 99. Oh, no, he's fought Austin more. But five times is a lot for a Taker against one guy, and particularly, 13 years apart or whatever.
Fought Batista a bunch, too.
Yep, fought Batista a bunch in 1 year.
although one of them was on TV, so.
Yeah, well,
I mean, what do you guys, did you guys think this was a better match than last year?
What do you think, Cowboy?
Definitely. Well, I thought Undertaker was a lot better than he was at WrestleMania, and then the whole Suplex City thing hadn't taken hold yet, and I thought it was I really enjoyed the match. I thought it was pretty cool to see Brock throwing around the 50-something-year-old guy with all the Suplex.
Well,
I thought the match was much better. The one at WrestleMania was really not a very good match. Plus, while you were watching it, I mean, it was just like a foregone conclusion that the Undertaker won. Was going to win, so I thought that kind of took away from the drama. And then when he didn't, it was just like it was just crazy. So this match overall, I thought it was a good match. I enjoyed it, and I thought they both fought pretty well.
I think I definitely think Taker adapted to, because Brock was never. I mean, honestly, even in the 02-03 in his early years, he wasn't this stiff. Brock wrestled more of a kind of a mat based. Yeah, he wasn't as heavy a striker as he is now. I think his UFC and just being a general badass, I think, have done that. But Taker definitely adapted to this better. I think he understood how Brock is, so I think they kind of laid the match out a little differently than they did at 30. All right, let's talk about the weird ending. For those that haven't seen it yet, Brock has Taker in the armbar. In fact, I said it wrong the other night. It's not the Fujiwara. It's the Kimura, right?
It's a Kimura.
Kimura. I always say Fujiwara for some reason. That's another armbar. He got him in the Kimura armbar, and from a distance where we were sitting, but not a far distance, suddenly the bell rang out of the blue. Brock gets up. You know, he's celebrating. He won. Heyman's talking to the ref, you know, and the ref's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And Taker low blows Brock and eventually gets him in Hell's Gate. Brock gives him the finger while he's bleeding, and then eventually the two of them just kind of tip over, and Charles Robinson goes for the bell, and Taker won the match. What we didn't see up close, which we saw
it's true.
The next night on what?
It's just the way you described it. It's pretty much true.
Yeah, and then the next night on Raw, we see the close-up, and out of the blue, or I actually saw it at the end of the show. If you're watching the network, Glenn, you obviously saw the replays.
Yep. They played it on the
big. Did they play it on the big screen? You're right.
Yeah.
They did.
On the Jumbotron, and Heyman was pointing with the ref.
That's right. No, 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 no. That's right. Taker's obviously tapping. The timekeeper saw him tap, but the referee did not. For some reason, Charles Robinson was trying to see if Brock was getting pinned. And so I don't know what this means. Taker was supposed to be on Raw Monday night, but he instead went home to Texas. We will not have a... I don't think we're going to have a rematch at WrestleMania 32. I don't think so. That will not fill that place. I think we're going to see at Hell in a Cell, because I don't think we're going to see a title match at Hell in a Cell. I think, unless they have two cells, which I guess they could. I think these two will rematch at Hell in a Cell. Brock wins, and then we finally put the thing to bed. I thought at first they'd wait till the Rumble. I don't think they'll wait that long. I think they just want to get this thing over with. I think they'll fight. I think they'll wrestle at Hell in a Cell in Los Angeles and get it out of the way. But the ending didn't tarnish the match as much as did not tarnish it at all. Just like the ending of the Cena Rollins match didn't tarnish it at all. What I liked overall about this show, and I said this a few times, we were talking about it on the train, Jay, on the way home with Anthony and Silverback, that this felt like a Federation era SummerSlam, 88, 89, 90, match, all had their own feuds, their own things going on. There wasn't a lot of fluff other than that bizarre like Stewart Heyman thing, whatever the hell that was. otherwise.
That was really cool, was what it was, but okay.
Yeah. The Stewart...
The John Stewart, Paul Heyman thing, yeah.
It was good. I didn't get where they were going with it, but...
I dug when Heyman went back into Brock's locker room and you could hear him through the door telling Brock, yeah, John Stewart was just here, and yak, 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 yak.
So that's what I liked about the card, is that it was very like 80s, 88, 89, 90, 91-ish Federation era. A lot of matches, all with their own stories, kind of a great run of, and good commentating apparently, although some people were criticizing Cole, but whatever. So there you go. Top to bottom, Willie, where do you put this show in your pantheon of SummerSlam?
Well, I feel like we need to talk about this Taker finish more, but
all right, well, what are your thoughts? Go ahead.
I thought it was shit. For many reasons. I thought the match was way better than I expected it. You know, I did not want to see this match at all, especially after the WrestleMania one, which I thought was awful.
I agree. I'm in your corner on that one.
Yeah, I'm
totally with you too.
Yeah, I was actually really disappointed that they had this match. That being said, I thought it was better than I expected. I thought Undertaker maybe looked at that match and realized how bad it was and brought his game a little more. But first of all, no one in the crowd knew what happened. No one could see Undertaker tapping, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't see it until much later on the
and the referee counted one right before the bell. So it looked like it was like a quick or something. Yeah.
You're right. So we're like, did he screw him? Secondly, the explanation of the timekeeper is stupid as hell because he was on the opposite side of where Undertaker was. So there's no way that he could have seen anybody tapping. Like, Taker was facing the other way. So how did he see under Brock and Undertaker? And, like, does he have x-ray vision? Like, how did that happen? Mm-hmm. Then you have – so, you know, then there's all the confusion, which, you know, including people in the crowd. And then there's the low blow and the Hell's Gate. And that's where it really bothers me because Brock Lesnar, legitimate UFC heavyweight champion, is going to not be able to counter a 50-something-year-old man with a bad haircut who was hyperventilating 5 minutes into the match, like his shitty little triangle choke or Hell's Gate move.
Like, go Pilata.
Thank you. I knew you would correct me there. Like, they couldn't have thought of something else. But, like, no, it's Taker. He has to, you know, he choke slam him in Tombstone like he did on Monday. Like, we're supposed to believe, and I just can't get past that part of it. Well, all three of those parts. One, that why would you have that finish when no one in the crowd can see it? Two, how did the timekeeper see it when he's on the complete opposite side of the Undertaker tapping? If no one in the crowd could see it, the referee couldn't see it. And then three, Brock Lesnar having to pass out in, you know, a man who's almost got his AARP cards, you know, UFC. It just, I hated it. The rest of the match until then, fine. Mm-hmm. Way better than I thought.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the thing is how do you all right, maybe people on TV, I don't even know if anybody, Glenn, did you notice it, what was going on when you were watching it on the network? Or
they didn't
you're
have...
You're just as confused as we are.
I was definitely confused when it happened because they didn't have the right camera angle to show him tapping when it first happened. So I only saw it on the replay along with, I guess, if they had it on the Jumbotron there. So, and commentary didn't help at all.
Yeah, like if you're going to have that finish, why not have the cameraman in place and show it happen?
And yeah, like have the exactly. They totally muffed that. And unlike the finish in the title match, this one I think definitely does detract because it's not just something that could work in theory but is executed badly. The theory on this is dumb.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could have him, if you need to have Brock pass out in a hold, which the person to beat Brock is Undertaker? Seriously? After a match, which I, as a person who dreaded this event happening at all, like Steve covered, I thought this match was 1,000 times better than the WrestleMania match, and 10,000 times better than I thought it could be. Mm-hmm. Because they brought the hate, and they were really, they looked like they were pummeling each other.
Yep.
They looked like they were buying in, and it made me buy in. And that was, it was a great, great surprise. And then to have that bullshit come up just at the end kind of soured it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they would, do you think they're trying to turn Brock to be a full face, you know, almost, I mean, I don't want to totally compare it, but almost kind of like with Stone Cold with Bret Hart, where, you know, he's passed out. I know this is a little bit of a different circumstance at the end, but, you know, where kind of make a, you know, sympathize, you know, where Undertaker had to give him the low blow. You know, he passed out from the move, from Hell's Gate, you know what I'm saying? Like, do you think maybe that's what they're trying to,
I think so, because on like the previous two times they interacted, Undertaker did a low blow, like at the last pay-per-view and on one of the Raws before it. And I think because of that, there were less cheers for Undertaker at Brooklyn than there would have been. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, everybody, all these nostalgia type acts, as we saw in Raw 2, are going to get huge cheers. And especially the Undertaker, you know, he's very much beloved.
And let me tell you something, it doesn't matter how old you are. I know, gee, you've never really cared, but his entrance live still blows me away.
Absolutely.
Still blows
me away. It's really cool.
Yeah, still blows me away.
But I did feel, you know, even in Brooklyn that it was a half and half crowd.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was for both of them. So my thing is are they trying to make Brock the face? The kind of almost, because fans were so upset about the streak being ended, that maybe to kind of, I don't know, turn the fans up not to be as upset now and like say,
fans were upset about the streak being ended, and that really fueled Brock's heel run in 2014. But since WrestleMania this year, Brock's been getting all the cheers. And I think they knew that. And I think part of the reason for having Undertaker, you know, striking Brock's nuts at any available opportunity, part of that was because they knew that Undertaker is beloved. He's going to get cheers no matter what. Brock became this huge babyface superstar when they had him fight someone they wanted to be a huge babyface superstar, because that's what wrestling fans do now. So he was going to get cheers, and so they set up the angle to kind of let the fans decide, you know, here are these two monsters. They're going to beat the shit out of each other. Cheer as you will.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. So we'll get to our original question before we finish up, before we get into a couple of the Raw notes, and then we'll head out. Where would you put this in your, first of all, I'll ask these two questions of all of you. Where would you put this in your, in the SummerSlam pantheon and of your live pay-per-view experiences?
Ooh. That's another good one. I'd put it in the top, I'd say top third of SummerSlams. At some point, I'll have to go back and watch it because the live experience always makes it better.
Of course.
So I would have given it probably like a B+, based on all of it. I think it could have been an A- if it weren't for an A- to an A if it weren't for the finishes of the two big matches.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe do one of them, not both of them. But again, you know, maybe if I watched it at home, I might have given it like a B or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of live pay-per-views, you know, I was at WrestleMania 13, which, you know, possibly one of the best matches of all time,
mm-hmm.
with Austin Hart, but the card itself overall suffered.
So, yeah.
And it's got to be, I haven't been to that many pay-per-views. Probably, under 10. So, possibly one of the best ones, if not the best one. I'm trying to think if there's anyone better, and I can't think from bell to bell, from opening to closing, if there was anything that was any better.
Yeah. Okay. Glenn, I know you weren't there, so I won't ask that part, but where would you put this in your rankings of SummerSlams?
If I had been there, it would have been the best pay-per-view I'd gone to, because I've been to some rotten ones. I was at the 07 SummerSlam, which was not a good evening. I've never really thought of SummerSlam as a top-tier show, unlike some in the room, I know. It's definitely in the upper quartile. It's a solid show from start to end, including a couple of matches that I wasn't looking forward to. And I mean, I hate Ryback. I'm not an Orton fan.
Mm-hmm.
Sheamus's heel turn is kind of really flat for me. But watching the show for the second time today to kind of remind myself what the hell happened before coming on here, the whole show came together as a really solid object from start to finish. And that I kind of appreciate. So it's definitely in the upper tier.
Okay. Cowboy, where does the SummerSlam fit for you and in your live pay-per-view, live experiences?
Sure. So, I'm not going to rank it amongst the other SummerSlams because I haven't seen that many.
Oh, okay.
Live pay-per-view experiences. I've been to four or five now, and I really, really enjoyed Batista winning the Rumble. I mean, I really
you and the other three people in that building.
Never give up, Raj.
I'm being honest. I mean, I really, really like that. But what put this out? This was better, and the reason for that, Scott, is I kind of feel like I've been to the mountaintop, been to the penthouse, as they say. I don't think you can watch an event in a better spot than what we had. And if you're listening, Dan McGinn, the ball's in your court for TLC.
He just threw down the gauntlet.
Drop the hammer.
Scotty and George have set the bar very, very high. And overall, great show, great time, something I won't look fondly upon for the rest of my days.
Oh, well, it was a pleasure. Doctor, I've been to a few pay-per-views with you. He actually was next to me for one of my favorite moments, which was when Evolution reunited at Extreme Rules 14. We shut down Izod. You've seen most of the Summer Slams. Does it rank with like 98? Or 02.
Definitely top three or four, without a doubt. And you got to understand, I don't follow it like you guys anymore. I've been soured on the product for probably the last 5-6 years. So the show surprised me. I really got into it. Now, again, you're there live, you're sitting in a box. The crowd was hot. I definitely probably one of the best crowds, if not the best crowd I've ever been at. For a live show. The Attitude Era had that feel. Even a house show was like on fire during that time. I'll never forget being at MSG for a house show and it sold out and it was just insane. But this crowd really got me into it. I had a good time with all the guys, obviously. I got to rank it up there. I may have to say it's my most favorite. Live.
Okay.
Because of the whole package, not just the matches itself,
right?
But just the whole package of the crowd I was with, the crowd in the arena, the being in the box. So it was a good time. It was a good time.
Well, there was no doubt, and JR and I said it, and I think Cowboy, maybe you were not. It's definitely the best show we in our crew, our place to be crew, have seen live, and we've seen a few live. So,
Blue WrestleMania a few years ago.
Yeah, and I've always said this. That weekend, the highlights for me that weekend were the tailgate, which pretty much began this whole journey, and the night of the Hall of Fame for Bruno.
Right.
The card at Mania was, and the crowd at MetLife was awesome, and the venue was awesome. The card was average.
Yeah, the card was average, but just like going back to what Roger and I were saying, you know, yeah, stadium shows are great, and it was a big crowd, but it, just being in that arena where it was enclosed, it was just so loud, and I don't know. I just felt like, even though we were in a box, you felt like you were ringside almost. It just had a different feel. I don't know. Again, maybe I went in with no expectations, and that's why it shocked me. But I had an awesome time. I really did. I even though I only got 2 hours of sleep or whatever it was, and I dreaded going to work, but I actually had a little smile on my face. And when people were asking me about it, they were like, "Wow, you really seem like you had a good time," you know. And I did. I really did have a good time. I was having a good time, obviously rooting against everybody that ever, you know, rooting for the people that like everybody Roger doesn't like. So I kind of enjoy that. I like healing out. So.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. There's SummerSlam. Hope you enjoyed. Hope you enjoyed our discussion of it. And of course, you can check it out on the network. Our next pay-per-view outing will be on Sunday, September 20th, from the Toyota Center in Houston, Texas. That is Night of Champions. We already have our main event, thanks to Raw Monday Night. Seth Rollins will defend. I don't know if he's.
Can we get a box in Houston? You think
we haven't clarified? Yeah. Ugh, those gaudy colors. I don't know if both belts are on the line, but Rollins is at least defending the World Heavyweight title on the line against Sting, who, of course, on Monday night came out from underneath the box that they were supposed to have a statue for him. And then, of course, we had a big return for the first time together since, I think, 2005. Bubba Ray and D-Von were back. Dudleyville opened up. The Dudley boys came back, which I think is awesome. I think it rejuvenates the tag division. And of course, we have a new Wyatt. So, and there's a rumor that we're actually going to see a sister named Abigail sometime.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
So,
there.
Question for everybody: is everybody hoping we have a pay per view in Brooklyn again soon?
Oh yeah.
Tomorrow.
Kidding.
There. It was great.
I hope this makes them rethink sticking. SummerSlam back in LA next year or every year.
Let me tell you something. I've been to some MSG shows and MSG pay-per-views. This crowd was hotter.
Yeah.
And that building is beautiful. And
it's
got
beautiful.
Great
it
food.
Is
incredible. Absolutely yeah. Incredible.
Yeah, it is a beautiful building. I don't know when the next – so there you go. So Night of Champions coming up September 20th in Houston. Looking ahead, Hell in a Cell – is in L.A., so they must have a deal with the Staples Center to have at least one pay-per-view there every year. Survivor Series will be in Hotlanta at Phillips. I know, I believe Mr. Hinchy's going. I think Chadley's going, too. I'm not sure. And then, of course, our probable next show, guys, well, at least us locals, will be TLC in December at the TD Garden in Boston. No Rumble this year unless we want to hop on a plane. The 2016 Rumble is down in Orlando. Fastlane. The February pay-per-view, I think, is in St. Louis. And then, obviously, WrestleMania 32 is
in New York for a while, huh?
In the Taj, Jerry's house. Oh, we don't even get into the. They're lucky they have that pay-per-view. They have that house show on October 3rd at the Garden. I'm surprised
for Brooklyn, sorry.
Oh, Brooklyn? Not yet. They only have out through WrestleMania 32. They don't have anything past that yet. So we'll keep tabs. But, guys, this was fun. We shut the door on the great weekend that was SummerSlam. We'll be back in a couple weeks.
We're going back to Brooklyn in a couple weeks?
Yes!
Sweet.
Hoorah!
All right.
Dogs, baby. And more Armento pining over Sasha Banks. All right, for the doctor, for Steve Willey, Glenn Butler, the cowboy, I'm Scott.
And the pleasure's all yours.
Precisely. Have a good 2 weeks. You see
be your loving and mine.